Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I'm your host, Angela Butler. Tonight we have with us Reginald Lewis, one of the CEOs of Urban Spice Magazine, a dynamic magazine. The other half of Urban Spice has not showed up yet or called in, Terrell Wicker, but we have with us tonight Reginald Lewis. How are you doing tonight, Reginald?
I'm doing fantastic. And yourself?
I'm doing okay tonight. Doing okay tonight. We started a little late tonight for those of you who are wondering about the time. We're going to be talking about how to make it in a down economy. Reginald is going to be telling us some of his secrets of how to be successful and how to make it an economy like we've had the past 3 or 4 years with this recession. Okay, Reginald, what are some of your secrets to making it in a down economy? What is one of your secrets anyway?
Well, basically, the economy has forced a lot of people to downsize, whether it be in your company or in your household. So the biggest secret is assessing, you know, what you have and how to maintain what you have rather than trying to grow or, you know, expand your business at this time.
Okay. All right. So you're saying that downsizing is one way if you have a business. Is that
right,
what you're saying?
Yes,
okay, what are some other ways? What are some other ways?
Other ways are, like, I have a landscape company as well as Urban Spice Magazine. So we have to do what we call creative thinking in order to maximize our expenses. And what I mean by that is, you know, we just normally get in the car, I'll give you a great experience. If you want to get something to eat, you may just randomly get in your car and go to the grocery store and buy food, you know, for 1 day or 2 days. And you don't really calculate the cost of that. You know, in, here in Atlanta, it may cost you $10 to $15 to go to the store and back.
Okay.
So we have, you have to learn to calculate all the hidden costs, because that's where you get in trouble, because you just normally assume, you know, those costs when they're actually real costs. And fuel is one of your biggest costs, and we don't really pay that attention. Now we pay attention that gas is almost $4 a gallon. But before gas was $4 a gallon, we never paid it attention.
Okay. So, since you're talking about shopping, I find that if you shop once a month and prepare your lunches and things like that, prepare your own lunches, it saves money. And it saves a lot of hassle, too, and it saves a lot of gas that you can eat on the job.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Fuel and food are your two biggest expenses in a household that you can control.
Yes, that is true. What are some other tips that you have since you're a business owner? Do you think, since people are without jobs, a lot of people are without jobs, it's improving now, but when people were without jobs, some still are, what do you think, what advice can you give to them?
Well, I mean, it's always a tough situation when your income has been cut off. If you have unemployment, you have some income. Or if you don't have any income, there are other ways. Say if you're a homeowner, you can always rent one of your rooms out to create income, because you have to have some type of income coming in. And there are a lot of programs that Obama has put out to help people, you know, through the crisis. So a lot of people, you know, especially with our race, pride gets in the way. a lot of times as far as, you know, getting help. You know, if you didn't have something to eat, a lot of times pride won't let you call and you fill out an application to get food stamps or free health care. There's tons of programs out there that we have funded all of our working lives. So as we pay taxes, a portion of these taxes go to fund, you know, affordable housing. It goes toward funding food stamp programs. It goes toward funding free health and dental care. And all these programs are available, so we just have to, you know, if you're in that situation, start using some of these programs.
Yes, that is true. I know that I am in a rural area, a small town in Florida. So I found that that becoming self-employed is a good way too. I think many people are finding that out because with all the downsizing going on by the corporations and the hiring freezes and things, I think the biggest thing wasn't just the job loss. Also, I like to say this, that it was the hiring freeze. They were also refusing to hire people, and that's always bad.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't the layoffs. It was the hiring freeze, too.
Yeah, I mean, back to business now that things are improving, you know, we often joke around in the office that, you know, you need a job and a hustle, you know. So, you know, everybody can look at their skill set and see, you know, if there's something that you can create to make income. You know, if most of us look through our homes, we have a lot of valuable things in our homes that we don't even use. Clothes, coats, you know, that we haven't worn for 4 or 5 years. You can have a garage sale once a month.
Yeah.
You know, you may make $200 off a garage sale. So you have to be creative these days and not get comfortable. And that's what a lot of us did because the economy was so good. We got comfortable, and we never thought that we would see a recession like we did. So we can't get comfortable anymore. We have to use our creative juices always to, you know, supplement our incomes. You know, once you get back to work, don't get comfortable just going to work. Start a small businesses. You know, it's huge tax breaks for owning a small business. And it doesn't have to be a very lucrative business, but you can take advantage of the tax breaks.
Yes, okay. What advice do you have to give to the young men, the African American men, the brothers?
We're going to talk about the young men first, because I'm glad you asked me that question.
Okay.
Young black men, learn a trade. If your father is a landscaper, learn the landscape business. Not saying that's what you have to do and follow his footsteps, but at least have that trade. If your father's a welder, you should know the welding trade. We're not passing. And fathers, we're not passing our trades down to our children anymore. We have to get back to passing down the trades, because you never know. That's just something you can have on your resume. Not saying that you'll ever use it, but, you know, once you get the knowledge, nobody can take that from you. And you can always, you know, start your own business doing that. Or, like I said, do that on the side of your regular job to supplement your income. So that's what I'm seeing in the community right now, that men that have trades have given up on the youth as far as trying to pass it down because they're not interested. You know, if you have a son, like I have a son, he knows how to do landscaping. He didn't have a choice whether he wanted to get up and go do landscaping. It was part of his daily routine. So we have to stop giving these kids so many choices and stand up and say, hey, be ready Saturday morning. We have a job to do, and you're going to help me. Not, do you want to help me? No, you're going to help me. And then pay him. And eventually he'll, you know, once he gets that little tingle in his pocket, maybe he may become interested in it. If not, then he still respects work ethics, and he's learned the trade.
Yes, I agree with everything you said. Work ethic. That really means a lot these days. Work ethic, learning a trade, small business entrepreneurs, or self-employed people.
All the other nationalities do it, except ours. If you go to a nail shop, if you go to a Chinese restaurant, their kids are there. If you go to if you go to a farm industry and people are out working in the fields, their kids are there. If you go to business offices in corporate America, their kids are there. So where are our kids when we're working?
I think parents, each generation, always want their children to have more and be more than what they were. And I think some of it comes from overindulgence.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's where it all started.
Perhaps.
And there's nothing wrong with wanting the best for your kids. You know, my son doesn't want to be a landscaper. But the point I'm trying to make is that he knows how to do it. So I've prepared him for life with a trade. If he chooses to, he can always take care of his family and teach his son the same trade. And it's a $1 billion industry. So, you know, we just want to give our kids, equip them, and then when they become adults, they can make their own choice. But at least we have equipped them. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with wanting the best for your kids. Yeah, and, you know, we all want that, and we want them to go off and do the things that they want to do. But we have to equip them with more than book knowledge. We have to stop equipping them to be taught to go out and work a job, and that's it. We have to teach them and pass down our entrepreneurial skills and our trade skills and our business skills so that they can have that along with their college degree.
Yes. So when hard times do come and the downsizing does come, because we all know it affects whenever there's a recession or depression or something like that, it affects the Black community first. I'm not being prejudicial, but it's a fact. It affects the Black community first and the hardest.
Oh yeah, so, and we
it's good to have a trade.
And we're the last to recover.
Yes, and we're the last to recover. What do you think? Some years back, I heard Reverend Jesse Jackson say that Black people need to save more, and stop spending as much. What do you think about that?
Well, that is very true. If I had listened to my grandmother 40 years ago, she told me to save a dime for every dollar that I make. You probably wouldn't be talking to me on this phone right now.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right.
I would be a very wealthy man. But, I did not listen to my grandmother. So, you know, that's why I'm still having to continue to work, you know, different businesses. But saving is definitely, I have a rule that I got from Clark Howard, and I know it's tough to save right now when you just make an ends meet, but this is just something that I personally do, and it works for me. I used to save all my coins in this big 5-gallon jug for my kids for Christmas, and that's how I would have their Christmas funds each year. Every day I came home, I'd throw all my nickels, dimes, quarters, pennies in this jug. And over the course of the year, I would save up, you know, $800 or $900 in coins, and then we go Christmas shopping. Well, Clark Howard introduced to me $100 bills to that as well. So now, every day that I come home, I throw my coins and my single dollar bills in there, and now it's not $800 or $900 at the end of the year. It's, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 at the end of the year.
Okay. That's good. That's good, and that's smart. That's smart. In a way, I'm going to say this. With you said a dollar, not a hundred. I heard you wrong. With the closing of the banks and things, it's a good idea to have a 5-gallon jar. You know what I'm saying? A 5-gallon bucket or jar or container. You know, because with the closing of the banks, you just about have to go back to that. I mean, with the banks closing and all those things and people losing their money in the stock market, I mean, you know, you have to go back to putting coins in a bucket or a container.
All the people that were in these tornadoes and, you know, and lost everything and the banks were destroyed and, you know, this and that.
Yes.
You know, if I'm going to go to shelter, I'm going to take my money jug with me, you know. So
yeah.
It is, I'm not saying that, I'm also saying that you also need to save in the bank as well, too, because you don't have access to it. But I'm old school, you know, my grandmother kept her money underneath the mattresses, I'm sure a lot of my grandmothers did, but she didn't keep all her money under the mattress. But when you needed something, she would say, I'll be right back, and she would go in the room and come back and give you what you need. So I'm just, you know, going back to some of the old school principles that work, you know, for them, and surely it'll work for us.
I know that some of the things that my grandmother taught me is coming true. Now, like you, I wish I had did more saving. But I've tried to teach my daughter that. I've tried to tell my daughter that saving, you know, about saving and things like that. But a lot of parents don't give economic lessons to the kids. They give all the other lessons, you know, and teach them other things, but they don't give an economic class to them, economics. So, you know, having you on the show is real good because you're helping people. So I appreciate you coming on. Another thing is, even though the recession is improving, the recession is not over with. I hope so anyway. What do you think about people who are thinking about starting their own businesses? What advice can you give to them in this down economy, or an economy that's slowly improving?
Being an entrepreneur, I definitely push entrepreneurship. I think everybody should own their own business. I don't think everybody's cut out to own their own business, but I think they should own a business of some sort, whether it's Amway, Avon, you know, some home-based business. If you don't have a talent, you can you know, go to one of those network, multimedia network businesses. And like I said, it's just so many tax advantages that you could take advantage of by being a business owner. And you never know how you would do in business. And just because you start a business doesn't mean that you have to continue a business, but at least you give yourself an opportunity to explore some of your business, you know, ventures to see if it's something that'll work for you.
Okay. All right. This is we have on the show talk. I have on show talk with Angela Butler, Reginald Lewis, one of the CEOs of Urban Spice Magazine tonight. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk some more with Reginald Lewis about how to make it in a down economy. So come back.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere. Let's get down to business. So you're having that company function or business function, and you need the proper services to get that business menu pumped. Okay, here's the solution. Call Exquisite Barista Services. Exquisite Barista Services has the experience to create a signature beverage for your business or organization. Services also include barista training, custom beverage menu creation, food and beverage pairing, and so much more. Visit Exquisite Barista Services online at www.exquisiteexpressinc.com or better yet, call 210-701-0143. That's 210-701-0143. Don't take your chances on the other man. Get that grand plan and choose Exquisite Barista Services.
All right, listeners, let's not forget Ms. Demetra Stewart, the creator of Atlanta Edition Magazine. It's the online magazine. Let's not forget her. Let's not forget the inventor, Conti Contino. Conti Contino is the inventor of More Time to Sleep. That's MTTS.com. Don't forget, check out his website. And it's also for fussy babies. It's a bottle warming system. So all of you who need baby warming gifts, don't forget to check out Conti Contino, and also key to the pediatrician recommendations when it comes to the product. Okay. Also, let's not forget Abby Merriweather and her husband Maurice Merriweather, the Visalis people. Let's not forget them. And let's not forget Decatur to X40, the singer of Survival. You can find him, Reverber Nation. All right, let's go back to Reginald Lewis, and we're talking about how to make it in a down economy. Before we went to break, we were talking about angst and teaching your children trades and things like that, the trades that you have, and you were encouraging students, young men, and of course young women, to get some type of trade. What do you think? I think college is a good thing, but I think a trade is good too, because everybody is not going to want to go to college. So I think a trade, going to a trade school, is a good thing. What are some of the things that you have did yourself to make it through this economy with your own businesses, young businesses?
Well, you know, I adopted my daughter's philosophy that she got from her business professor in college. And have you ever heard of the Lipstick Society?
No, I have not. Please tell me what that is.
Okay, that's another secret, hidden secret, how you can make it through a down economy. The Lipstick Society is women normally in a flourishing economy would go get their hair done, their nails done, you know, pedicure, manicure, all the things y'all love to do at least once or twice a week, at the tune of, you know, $60. What does it cost to get your hair done these days, man? $40, $60.
Yeah, something like that, $50, $60, somewhere in there.
You know, $15, $20 to get your nails done. Well,
$25, $35.
Yeah. Well, in a down economy, a lot of people couldn't continue to keep that up. So, what do you do to make yourself feel pretty? So, when you're at you know, Walgreens, you buy you a tube of lipstick. And so now you do your own hair, you do your own nails at home, and you pull out your $2 tube of lipstick, and you put your lipstick on. So they call that the Lipstick Society, where you can't afford you know, to spend $80 a week to maintain beauty. So now you have to do some of these things at home, but you still can afford a $2 tube of lipstick.
Okay. All right.
I say all that to say that's my philosophy now. I look for things that I can spend where I used to spend $20, I can get something similar for $3 or $4.
Right.
To provide that service in our marketing campaigns, instead of, you know, getting nice button-up shirts for my employees to wear while they're working, now we wear T-shirts.
Also, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I like to say something else that can be done is also starting, like you were saying, lipstick style. When I think of lipstick style, I think of Mary Kay, Avon, and things like that. And those are wonderful ideas. So go on talking.
Yeah. So basically, you know, just cutting back some of the things that I've done. I've had to downsize my landscape company tremendously. Unfortunately, it left, you know, about 15 people unemployed. But those were some tough business decisions that I had to do. I put more into our online magazine, Urban Spice Magazine. By the way, check it out, www.urbanspicemag.com, which now creates a product rather than service. My landscape company is a service-oriented business, meaning I have to always work in order to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're thinking about, you know, supplementing your income, starting a part-time business, look at some businesses that you can make money at without having to do all the work.
Yes.
And those
that's,
are some of the things that, you know, as I get older, that I've started to do and look at and you know, have my business mind swing into more product-driven businesses, you know, versus service-oriented businesses.
All right. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I think that is some
so
what
do you think?
I
need to start a lipstick business? Selling lipstick?
When I think of lipstick business, I think of, like I said, I think of different cosmetic companies and things like that. It didn't occur to me that you were going to say the other, but if you want to sell cosmetics, you can. You know, it's no harm in that if that's what you want to do. If you want to make your own cosmetics, there's no harm in that.
You're right.
What advice do you have to young men? This has nothing to do with the economy, but it's concerning not just taking care of the children. It's not just a trade, but about the young men who are becoming fathers younger and younger. And the young, I know most of you just focus on the women who are becoming mothers younger and younger, but since you are a man, I'm going to ask you, what advice can you give to young men who are becoming dads younger at 15, 16, and 17? This has nothing to do with the economy.
The same thing that we've always preached for generations. You know, if you get in a situation where you find yourself being a father at a young age, then stand up to your responsibility. Because if you have a son and you're a young man, they say the nut doesn't fall far from the tree, and it doesn't. So if you are a good example as a father, and it doesn't always mean like you said, it has nothing to do with money sometimes. It could be, like I said, just teaching your son a trade.
Right. Right.
You know, if you I know a lot of kids are into entertainment now. I know a lot of young men are into, you know, photography and videography. If you have a son, Sure. Have him sit there with you while you work on your editing a video. And he'll pick those skills up. You know, young men, they don't really do, when we say trade, we think of, you know, welder, bricklayer, but now the trade businesses went to the internet. So now a lot of these young men are spending a lot of time developing businesses and ideas via internet.
Yeah.
So it's nothing wrong with having a 3 or 4 year old kid that's computer savvy, because you allow him, you know, to work side by side with you. And it also develops character. And when we talked about work ethics earlier,
this can go for women too. This can go not just for young men, women too.
Oh, this is for everybody. We just have to stay in tune with our kids. We have to teach and train and pass knowledge down, which we don't do that anymore because, you know, most families don't even spend time together anymore. But we have to get back to passing the knowledge down, and it's free for a parent to pass knowledge down to the kids. When we spend thousands of dollars sending them to a private school or sending them off to college, and I guarantee you, they're not teaching you in college how to survive in a down economy.
Okay.
They didn't have that course
right.
When I went.
Okay.
That's
what I'm saying. They don't teach economics very much in school, and when they cut so many things out in school for the young people, and I really think that should be the course, how to budget, a national course on how to budget money, but that's my opinion. All right. What do you think about? What do you think about the current situation now? With things the way they are, do you think things are getting better? In your opinion, I think things are getting better. But do you think things are getting better? Honestly.
I don't know if I can share my honest opinion on the air, but I'll get as close as I can. I definitely think things are getting better. I think based on, you know, the president that we have in office, things are as good as they will allow them to be. I'll just say it like that.
If they will allow them to be. That's a good way of putting it. Because it seems like this president is not getting enough credit for what he's doing. President Barack Obama is not getting enough credit for what he's doing. And I feel like he's doing the best job that he could. He did a really good job. He didn't bring us into a recession or a depression, or recession as it's called. He didn't bring us into it. We had been going into it for 8 or 12 years, maybe even longer than that. And I think he's doing a fine job bringing us out of it. I think highly of President Barack Obama.
Yeah, it takes time. But I think
it's like he's not getting credit for what he does.
Well, you know, that's a topic for another day.
Yeah, that's a topic for another day. All right, listeners, we're going to wrap up the show. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Reginald? Would you like to give the name of your magazine again? Go ahead.
We're Urban Fights Magazine. You can find us online at www.urbanspicemag.com. And don't forget, get you a 5-gallon water jug, cut a hole in it, and put your nickels, pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, and dollar bills. And by the way, get some spray paint and paint it so that you can't see the money. And then at the end of the year, get somebody to help you count it.
All right, that's right. That's right.
That's my tip of the day.
It's not here for Connie. All right, thank you. Thank you for coming on Straight Talk with Angela Butler. All right. Listeners, we've had with us tonight Mr. Reginald Lewis, one of the CEOs of Urban Spice Magazine. He also has an online magazine, like he was saying. That's www.urbanspicemag.com. He's been on the show before, and I found him to be a wonderful guest. I hope all my listeners have learned something, and that was the whole point of doing the show, to learn something and give some good tips and advice. All right, listeners, you've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I appreciate all those who had called in tonight. The reason I didn't go to the phones is because of the every time in the past, I'm starting to recognize some of the numbers and it's some of the same callers, and usually you don't say anything. You're just calling in to listen. So I keep calling in. I have some faithful listeners, and I thank you. Thank you very much for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Good night.